It's time to step into the Coming Out Lounge, a cool, safe space to be true to your sexual self, with your host, Rick Clemens. Rick has helped hundreds of people come out of the closet, and now each week he's bringing you cool insights for loving and accepting yourself, boosting your self-confidence, and living a guilt-free, purpose-filled life on the other side of the closet doors. Cuddle up with yourself and get ready for heartwarming coming out stories, ideas for living authentically, and tips for being fully self-expressed. Now here's your host, Coming Out Coach Rick.
Hey, 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 closet busters and closet dwellers. We are back once again with another episode of the Coming Out Lounge. And you've all heard me talk about this before. You never, never, never stop coming out. Now, that isn't just a mantra for the LGBT community. It's also a mantra for everyone, for everybody's life. So I want you to, for just a moment, to imagine being on a path. You know, you're going down that life path, doing the thing that you think you're supposed to be doing, and then someone tells you the only way you're going to make it is you got to learn to suck. And I don't mean in that way you might be thinking, just because it's Coming Out Lounge, we're not going to go there. But somebody tells you you got to learn to suck before you really get where you're going. And in that moment, things begin to shift for you because you realize that's where you're going to find your inner badass self. And in the case of my guest today, that's when she started to find her badass metalhead, guitar playing, songwriter, singer self. And she said, nope, I'm done. I'm not going to pursue my PhD. I'm going to become a rocker chick and I'm going to go into that male dominated world and make a name for myself in the music industry. And kind of as they say, the rest is history. And today, Allie Handel, my guest, she is going to give us a glimpse into her coming out story of how she became her most transparent, authentic self. This is her story. It's her music. It's her life. And I'm so excited to have her on the show. Welcome to the show, Allie. Thanks for being here.
Oh, thank you, Rick.
Hey, I'm just excited. So I know you've been in the studio. You're in the midst of recording music. Before we get all the way to that, why don't we back up a few years ago to when you really came out and finally said, wait, I got to step up and I got to be myself. So I kind of alluded to it in the introduction, but you're kind of coasting along going, okay, I'm going to just go do this college PhD thing. And then things kind of shifted, right?
Yeah, well, I was in college and I mean, I wouldn't say that I was coasting because I worked my ass off,
right?
But it was definitely a lot easier of a path than anything in the entertainment and the arts, you know, where there's right. not really a path out for you. And I had come from a place where I'd always loved to do music, but I didn't have really a good, I just didn't have the experience and my confidence was really low. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I was very, very good at was I was a great student all throughout high school and throughout college. And I was definitely, you know, I was in my last year of college actually planning to apply for PhD programs when I just realized that I was kind of dying inside and very depressed because I wasn't following my calling, which was to be a musician. But I wasn't a good musician at the time. I just, you know, I was kind of beginner level, but I just, that's what I knew I really, really wanted to do. And it was my calling. But I you know, because I hadn't believed in myself, I hadn't really been following that.
Mm-hmm. And this is where the parallels start to show up. So the reason Allie is on the podcast today is a good friend of mine, Jonathan Fields of the Good Life Project, had her on his show. And as I was listening to his interview, I'm like, wow, Allie's got some coming out stories here that are similar, parallel, the depression, the being called to be who you are. And it's the same exact path that we go on as we come through our lives in the LGBTQ community. And so as you started
having
yeah, exactly. And having therapy and all this other stuff. Yeah. It's all the same thing.
I don't want to be a musician.
Yeah.
What? My mom would have actually, I always joke with my sisters about this because my mom is, you know, very loving and left wing. And I'm like, you know, she just wishes that one of us would have turned out to be gay so that she could show us how much she loves and accepts us, but none of us did.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah, but I mean, it sounds like she loves you and accepts you for who you are, too. I mean, you've taken some big strides. You kind of entered into this music industry and, you know, I don't want to steal the thunder, but you kind of came into this, you know, being one of the few women who really kind of took over that whole guitar playing rocker chick sort of thing with what you did, right?
Yeah, definitely. And I was very focused on that at the time because that's what I was called to, and that's what I loved, and that's why I moved to LA for college. You know, there were all these things that, you know, I went to LA for college because Guns N' Roses was there, you know, but I didn't have the courage to actually follow my dreams. And every guy I dated was a long hair guitar player, which is who I wanted to be. I didn't, you know, and it was a lot of those things over the years that I realized, oh man, I need to stop kind of dreaming about this and do it and really be true to who I am.
Yeah. So when you talk about, you know, that thing you're being called to, because I know I do a lot of this work when I'm working with clients who are coming out of the closet or coming out of whatever their closet is. But for you, when you felt that calling, kind of describe what that felt like, because I have a feeling it's similar to what a lot of us feel like in the closet coming out to our sexuality.
Well, you know, I felt it my whole life. Like, I was always in love with music and I always participated in music, and I was a double major in music and psychology when I first started school. And I always had it within me. And, you know, to my parents and to a lot of kind of responsible adults, music was great and they really encouraged it as a hobby.
Right.
But when I really wanted to make this my livelihood and my life, that was when I had to sit down and have a serious conversation, first of all, with myself and then with my advisors at school, and kind of disappoint them that, well, I'm not going to apply for a PhD program, even though you've been training me the last couple of years.
Right.
And, you know, then my parents, like, thanks for, you know, helping me with this college education. And I mean, you know, it's helped me a lot, even in the music industry. But yeah, I'm just going to, you know, after I graduate, just going to go find a band and a part-time job until I can support myself. It was definitely, there was a lot of, you know, I am not a person of faith and I never have had faith. And I actually have more faith in the future now than I ever did. But at the time, I was really leaping into the unknown completely blind. I had no faith that it was going to work out. And no proof that it would work out, but I just knew that I was so unhappy and so miserable, living a lie, really. Yeah. You know, I found myself, I was writing a paper, it was my thesis for my undergraduate degree, and I was thinking to myself, wow, I'm going to be doing a lot of this as a PhD student, and I hate it, you know? And so thinking, like, do I want to spend my time living a lie and doing something that I hate, or do I want to maybe take a road that maybe seems to other people to be harder, but actually is not harder because I'm with my tribe of people, which for me is musicians and songwriters and, you know, following my bliss. And maybe, you know, it's not a steady paycheck and some things are hard, but other things are so much easier because I am being honest and true to what I'm called to be and called to do. For me, it's all about how we spend our time and who we spend our time with.
Absolutely. And what you just described is, I hope the listeners really caught this, because this is the journey. This is the journey for so many of us coming out of the closet. We're looking at the unknown. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know how we're going to be embraced, or maybe we're not, or maybe we're going to get rejected. And so these are those things. But on the other side of that is the truth of who you are, you know, and it just happens to be a sexual orientation truth. And I don't mean just, and I hate it when I use that word, but in this case, it kind of really sets it up properly. It's who you are at your core, no different than who Allie is at her core of, she's a musician. This would be like really a sad place for her to deny herself for the rest of her life of not, you could have continued to, you know, play some gigs on the side and everything, but true happiness doesn't come from just having a side gig in life. True happiness comes from a place of being full in life. And I think that's the message I'm hearing really deeply from you, Allie, is you said, I'm all in. I'm just going.
Yeah, definitely. And it took years for especially my dad to accept it. He was very worried about me, probably similarly to, you know, when some people come out to their parents are worried about them because of how society sees them. And my dad was worried that I wouldn't be able to earn a living, and that he was very worried. And I mean, it took 20 years for him to, you know, for me, first of all, for me to get really good. And also for him to see, oh, you know, I have a book published now by a major publisher, like that kind of thing. You know, parents, they like seeing other people validate your choices.
Right, exactly.
It was not an overnight, like, oh, okay, great, you're going to follow your dream. Like, that was it was, you know, in some ways maybe similar to other people's experience coming out of the closet. Like, okay, get used to this. This is my choice and this is who I am. And, you know.
But this doesn't stop there because you've done so many different things. I mean, you did publish the book, you know, that guides other young women into, you know, guitar playing for girls, right? It's like, okay, you can do this too. Yeah. Very similar to like Hillary Clinton saying in her concession speech, don't let this stop you, you know, let go forward, go be who you're meant to be. Again, that's one of the reasons I brought you on the podcast is because I think you're a really nice reflection of how we keep coming out of our closets of our lives. I mean, obviously in the music industry, you're always working towards that gig, that song, that album, that, you know, it doesn't end. You're always stepping out. So what is something that you feel like you've really learned thus far from this journey of really stepping into being who you are? What have you learned about yourself?
Well, I've learned a lot of things from when I first started. I mean, I've had to unlearn, actually, probably more than I've learned. Mm. Kind of being raised by two kind of control freaks. You know, I'm also a control freak. I mean that in the most loving sense.
Sure, sure.
But, you know, being a straight-A student through high school and college and trying to plan for everything all the time is kind of the antithesis of a life in music and the arts. And sometimes, actually many times, the most amazing things that have happened to me in my career and my life have been from things that I could never have planned and I could not have prepared for. So kind of unlearning to prepare for everything so much in advance and to try to be a little bit more laid back. And, you know, and that has to do with developing some sort of faith. I mean, for me, it's not really, I wouldn't use the word faith for me. I think for a lot of other people it is, but developing some sort of like, okay, believing that it's going to turn out okay. That's something I never had. And I think it's people who do have that, people who do have faith, whether it's religious or just spiritual or something, I think they kind of have a leg up on those of us who don't have that because you can really kind of breathe easy and be a little bit more present. And in a life in the arts and even any kind of life, sometimes, you know, it's just very important to be able to just take things as they come.
Yeah. I call it trusting my soul.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah.
Because I feel, I mean, I was raised religious, but not super religious. I wouldn't say I'm not religious, but I'm not going to church every week. I'm more spiritual and I just know there's something beyond me, but I'm not sure what that looks like anymore. I'm not sure what it is, but I do know that when I trust my soul and let that inner GPS, that inner intuition take me where I'm going, it's all good. Even if it's tough, it's all good.
Right,
you know, and as you go down these pathways of, you know, starting to find yourself and be in the music industry or coming out of a closet or taking that risk to leave a job or get out of a crappy relationship and go, okay, as much as I don't want to do this, when you trust that inner GPS and that inner soul within you, yeah, some people wrap that in faith. I just feel like trust in yourself is where it starts. It's really that deeper piece of you that says, okay, this is what's good for me. You know, so talk a little bit about how the whole, you know, book came about. I know, you know, you got approached by a publisher, but that was a pretty major coming out thing too. It's like, okay, here I am, I'm doing this. And now suddenly somebody's coming to me and say, hey, would you do this book?
Yeah, it was kind of interesting. I mean, you know, being a very strong feminist, I never believed in, you know, pink guitars for girls and blue guitars for boys. You know, I always played Fender and Gibson and just regular old guitars. And so when Hal Leonard, which is a major music publisher, when they came to me and said, you know, we've got this idea for a book, Guitar for Girls, and we would like you to write it. At first I was kind of like, okay, do I want to write a book called Guitar for Girls? Like it seemed like the antithesis of everything I stood for.
Sure.
But then I realized, well, they're going to have somebody write this book. And if I can put in Anita Franco songs and songs that I feel like are empowering and advice that I wish I had gotten as a 13-year-old playing the guitar. And some of that is more specific to girls. So I decided to say yes. And it actually was a fantastic thing for my career, just in that it legitimized my position in the industry a little bit in that, oh, she wrote this book, you know, that Hal Leonard put out. You know, not anything that I had ever dreamt about. You know, afterwards, everyone asked me, how did you get your book deal? And who do I talk to? And I'm like, I don't know. They called me. Like, I didn't pitch this. So, you know, it was interesting in that way. I'm very proud of the book and very excited, you know, that not just girls are using it, but also women, adults who had picked up the guitar and then put it down when they were younger and really want to learn again. They're buying the book even more than young girls at my shows anyway. I'm not sure about it, Guitar Center. But.
Sure, sure. But I love this piece where you came to, you know, this was kind of the antithesis of something completely different of what you stood for.
Yeah.
But yet it's so much a part of you too. You know, you're this feminist and it's like, okay, but I want girls to really stand, you know, I want girls to be seen for who they can be as guitar players or musicians or whatever they are. So it's actually like the same side of the coin, but yet this almost seems sexist to say, okay, this is only for girls. So I totally get where you're coming from.
Well, you know? People ask me all the time, why is it for girls? Or what's the difference between for girls and for us? I'm like, really, there's no difference except for the publisher wanted me, you know. Right. And some of the psychological advice is a little bit different just in that, you know, when I was growing up, there was no Jennifer Batten maybe was a thing who played with Michael Jackson. Orianthe was around. You know, there were no lead guitar playing females, at least in the rock world that I was really, that I could identify with. But, you know, there was Joan Jett who didn't play lead guitar. You know, I was listening to Metallica and Zeppelin and, you know, my role models were people like Jimmy Page or, you know, Joe Perry from Aerosmith.
Right.
So I didn't have female role models. And that was another reason why it did take me a long time to realize, oh, wait, I can do this. It's even, you know, even though I don't see anyone kind of like me doing it, I actually can do it. I think it's easier when you do have a role model who looks like you.
Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things you just brought up, though, too, is at the time that you were doing this and where this now kind of fits into where we are, you know, in modern world right now is one of the things that a lot of gay people or LGBTQ people struggle with is this concept of, oh, I'm the only one. Now, I know that sounds kind of crazy in 2016 that, you know, people will feel this way, but they do.
But it depends where they live, I'll bet.
Exactly. It does.
Maybe not so much in West Hollywood.
Right. Exactly. LA, West Hollywood, you know, wherever it is. But I actually have clients that I have worked with here in California who are like, yeah, they're out in, you know, some of the hill country and stuff. I'm like, yeah, I'm the only one. I don't know anybody else like me. So I think it's this beautiful juxtaposition that you may not have had this at the time that you were going through it, but now you've set a tone by the book and then how you're modeling your life and the, you know, way you're showing up in the world to say, hey, girls, women, there are others just like you. You just got to go find them. And I think this is the support system that we all look for because we all want to be accepted. We all want to have our tribe. We all want to be surrounded by our like type, you know, minded people. So talk a little bit about the new album. I know you're working on some stuff. I know you've got a free download that we're going to have on the show page called You Get What You Settle For. But talk a little bit about what's kind of the vibe here. I would love to have you share about your music and, you know, what's going on for you.
Yeah, well, it's definitely a female-oriented record. It's going to be called That's What She Said. There's some funny songs on there. I have a song called Thank God for Birth Control, which is a very happy, child-free choice in life, as well as a song called I Love My Pussycat, which is not about my cat. But I guess now that we have a new president coming in, I can say the word pussy as much as I want.
There you go. Absolutely. You can say it all you want on this podcast, too, because that's what's so beautiful about podcasts. We can say whatever we want to say. So there we go.
Yes, there's some feminist and girl power songs. I cover my very favorite Ani DeFranco song called Not a Pretty Girl. Mm-hmm. And that's the song actually I put in my book because I think every girl should hear that song. The first line of it, for anybody who's not familiar with Ani DeFranco, first line of the song is, I am not a pretty girl. That is not what I do. I ain't no damsel in distress and I don't need to be rescued. And it's just a great, great song. So there's, you know, and then You Get What You Settle For, which is that free download. It was actually inspired. It's a line from Thelma and Louise.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you saw that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Way back. But this line, You Get What You Settle For, actually came from that movie. And I saw it. My dad took me and my two sisters when it first came out. And it really had a big impact on me. And particularly Thelma, the character Thelma,
mm-hmm.
you know, she had married young. She had married this terrible guy named Daryl, and he's just a creep, and everybody who watches the movie, you know, thinks he's a creep, and everyone in the movie thinks he's a creep, and she's always talking about what a creep he is. And then her best friend Louise, at one point, you know, halfway through the movie, after listening to Thelma complain again and again, she just kind of looks at her and she says, "You get what you settle for." Mm-hmm. And I was like, whoa, that's deep.
Yeah.
And it doesn't just go for your relationships. It goes for your health and it goes for your career. And I've definitely taken that to heart. And it just goes for so many things. And it's something that I feel, it's a message I feel very strongly about. And I actually have a blog post on my site about it, because I was not a natural born musician. I was not gifted at a young age, but I wanted it so badly. I was not going to settle for not being a fantastic guitar player. I worked my ass off. You know, I didn't have the voice I wanted to have. So I kept taking lessons even after my first record and my second record and my third, like continually seeking to improve my life and my skills until I was where I wanted to be. And I mean, I don't really think that ever stops for somebody like me, but and maybe that's just because I'm never really satisfied as an artist. But, you know, you get what you settle for, to me, is a really important message for everybody.
Yes.
To not settle and to not settle in your relationships.
Right. And I, from a LGBTQ perspective, I really encourage my clients, don't settle. You don't have to settle for somebody not accepting you. It doesn't mean you can make them accept you, but you don't have to settle for that. You don't have to settle for being abused. You don't have to settle for feeling like you're a second class citizen, you know, and none of this. When I saw that, that title for your song, I'm like, okay, I hope we're going to go here because I think it's such a beautiful set of words and I have some true confessions to make here. So what was so interesting is I listened to you and Jonathan on the podcast, and that was about 4 days before I spoke in front of my biggest audience thus far in my speaking career. And I had my speech all kind of, I had it wired. I was ready to go, and 2,500 high school students. So tough audience, right? And the two things that you said on the podcast that just really stuck with me was you get what you settle for. And then, you know, I'm not a pretty girl. I don't do that. And I actually interwove both those things into my speech 4 days later.
I actually took
the kids through this thing of, so, you know, how many of you girls feel like you're not a pretty girl? Well, I'm going to teach you how to get rid of that. As soon as you say that to yourself, you're going to say, I don't do that. Guys, if you don't feel like you're a rock solid stud, you're going to say, I don't do that. If you're a somebody who's really into biology and sciences and you're that math nerd and people say you're that math nerd, you're not going to say that to yourself. You're going to say, I don't do that. Now, why do I say that? Because as soon as you say, I don't do that, you lift yourselves, you bring yourselves up. And it was so powerful. I mean, it was like, you know, I could hear my voice resonating in that auditorium. And then I actually ended the speech and I took some of my own stuff, but then I said, and here's the reason that I'm speaking to you about being yourself and having the courage, the confidence, the commitment, and the curiosity to never stop being yourself. Because the moment you stop being yourself, you get what you settle for.
Wow.
And that was like the mic drop at the end of the thing. And I walked off the stage and I was like, I am channeling my inner Allie right now. I wish I could tell her what I'm doing based off. And I did send Jonathan a message that I'm so glad you had Allie on the cast. And by the way, she's on mine. And actually I took some sound bites from what you guys talked about and interwove it into my speech I just did. So I feel like I owed it to you to share that little piece of how you impacted my life and the life of 2,500 kids because it was just awesome.
Oh, I love
it. Yeah. So
that's so great.
So you got the new album coming out, hopefully early 2017. That's awesome.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
That's so cool. So tell people what you're, you know, I know we talked about it's kind of feminist and everything, but what's your style? What's your real music style? If you could kind of lay it down for everybody.
Yeah. Well, I grew up on hard rock and guitar music. So I kind of came from there, but I've always been into funky music. It's got to have a groove. Yeah, I really loved Prince and even the rock stuff. I love Zeppelin and Aerosmith. It's all got kind of a really groovy rhythm section. So that's something I've always held on to. And this new record, even though it's acoustically based, it's super funky. Yeah. So it's kind of a funky, you know, the word most people just kind of spontaneously say, describe my live performance as badass.
That's so awesome.
I love that. Yeah. It makes me happy.
Well, and I think that's the thing. You know, I was working with a client a couple of days ago and he's like, I just wish I could do something more. I wish I could just be something more. And I had just finished writing the intro to your show and everything. And I just finished writing it. And I'm like, well, you know, maybe you just need to be a little more badass. You know, I had your intro still up on my computer while I was working with him. I'm like, what would it feel like to be a little more badass? And I said, I want you to say those words. I want you to say badass. And he's like, badass. I'm like, no, I don't believe you, brother. Tell me what, you know. And it was so interesting. So yeah, I've been channeling Allie a little bit lately. It's like, okay. But I love that that's where you come from, because I think for those of us coming out of closets, and I'm not going to limit it to my community right now, any of us coming out of our closets, the thing I believe we all need to do is channel our inner badass, because it's not going to be easy.
No, I was going to say it can take a long time, you know, and you get better and better with more practice.
Absolutely. So I'm curious about, you know, there's another thing we're going to promote here. These interesting little Friday night live chats with Allie. So, you know, it's on Facebook. So, you know, what are you talking about? The music, things that are going on in life? What's
everything.
Kind of awesome.
Yeah. So like, I'll get up there with a guitar. Sometimes I'll have a friend, a musical, join me. Sometimes it's just me. Sometimes I'll be joined by my bunny Marble and my cat Pumpkin. And people can ask me questions. I can play them songs that are in my book or on my records. And sometimes I'll play a cover song. I don't know that many cover songs, but sometimes I'll get requests and learn them.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just encourage people to ask me questions and kind of anything goes.
Isn't it amazing what we can do now with all the social media? It's like we can connect with so many people. In fact, it's just amazing. This is, you know, my podcast is a very niche podcast. You know, it's obviously geared towards people coming out. We're getting a broader reach because I'm starting to tell stories like yours. This isn't just about, obviously, Allie's not, you know, gay or lesbian. She's like a straight woman just, you know, rocking her guitar.
Yeah.
But what I'm finding so interesting is, you know, very niche focus, very narrow. But what blows my mind, we don't have huge downloads. We have about between 8,000 to 10,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
But we're downloaded in over 70 countries around the world.
It's amazing. It's like when iTunes was first opened up to artists everywhere.
Yeah.
It's, you know, you get your monthly statements. You're like, oh, iTunes Australia, iTunes UK.
Yeah.
You know?
It's amazing.
And with YouTube and everything else, it's really cool. And I just love it. I love the whole Facebook thing. Like, I do love to tour, but touring can be expensive, very time consuming and exhausting. And I do happen to be in a relationship with somebody I love, and I have pets and things. Right. So it makes it tough to be gone for a long time. And every night, and I'm hoping to expand it to another day or night during the week, but I can get online and everybody can join me, and they can be in the comfort of their own home in their PJs and just, you know, chilling out and relaxing. And I love that. I love being able to be relaxed and just connect with people in real time.
Yeah. It's so cool. It's just, it's one of the greatest things. I just love it. I do the same thing. I do it on a different front. Yeah. It's just amazing to be able to do it. And I love that I can do, you're in Hollywood, I'm out here in Riverside, and we're doing this live. We don't have to be, you know, would it be a little better in the studio? Sure. But I love that I can connect with people all over the world and say, okay, well, we're doing this, you know, we're making it happen. I can be in my scrubby little pajamas right now. I'm a happy camper. I didn't have to go get dressed up or anything, you know. So questions I always kind of wind everything up with, and I can't believe we've already been 30 minutes because I could talk to you all. You know, you've been through some of your own stuff. We didn't really talk about something that Jonathan brought up. We didn't talk about this cancer thing you're dealing with. So I didn't know if you wanted to talk about it, but but it's another coming out story, right? It's like you're coming out to admit this is what's happened, right?
Kind of. I mean, you know, it's an interesting thing. So I was diagnosed with a really rare form of lymphoma a few years ago. And I mean, it was never really a question for me whether I was going to share that information with people, just because I am pretty open about most things on social media and stuff. Now that I did do it, I don't know that I would recommend that necessarily. I mean, I got a lot of wonderful support, and then I got some annoying, you know, quote unquote advice that was just kind of like, you know, that I didn't really need, you know, at the time.
No, I get that.
Yeah. So, you know, people worried about me a little bit more than I would have liked. Like at a certain point I was like, okay, I don't want to be the cancer girl, you know, forever, even though, you know, I have it, I still have it. It's an incurable thing, but it's not ruling my life in any way right now. So it's been kind of an interesting thing to kind of figure out, like, how out do I want to be? And like, when I meet new people, like, do I tell them that I have cancer or do I not tell them? Or,
well, that's kind of why I tiptoed into this, because I'm like, I'm very respect. I mean, even though I brought it up, I'm respectful of it, because it's kind of like, suddenly, do I own this on what level? You know, yeah. Do I become the poster child? And, you know, Jonathan right. and I have talked about this offline, you know, when we've been together at his camp and stuff about, yeah. you know.
That sounds awesome, by the way.
Oh, it is. It is yeah. so much fun. It's like a WDS, because you were at WDS. Yeah. So take WDS yeah. and put it down on a small scale of like 300 or 400 people of like-minded, and you're just kicking back. You're like, you'd love it because people are sitting around campfires playing guitars and stuff. And
oh, yeah.
We're kind of acting like kids. It's like, okay, are we going to go do the panty raid on the girl? You know, all that sort of thing. Anyway, we didn't do that, but, you know, like, it yeah. did cross the minds. It's like, should we really be like we're at camp? Should we really do this? You know, no, it's really cool. But Jonathan and I have talked about this at times because, you know, Jonathan, he's just a phenomenal guy. And he is kind of a, you know, in his own right, he's a guru. And he hates it when people say that. And I hate it when people come to me and go, well, like, you're like a really, you're a voice in the LGBT community. You're like a leader. You're mm-hmm. kind of like, and it's like, you know, I appreciate that, but you're putting some responsibility on me. I don't know if I want to carry that. And I yeah. don't want to like be, I don't want to like shun it either, but it's like the same thing for you. It's like, okay, yeah, I've got this and I'm going through it. And I appreciate you feeling for me, but let me just be with this. I don't need, yeah. you know, it's a tough spot, you know, and I've been through a lot yeah, of this with friends.
Yeah. And especially with the particular medical condition that I have, like people don't, and they shouldn't, because it's really weird and rare and they don't understand what it is. So everything they've heard about cancer, kind of, they try to apply that to my yes. condition. I don't really know what it is. And it is actually kind of different from a lot of different mm-hmm. kinds of cancers. And so it's just a little bit like, okay, do I want to explain this all to you from right. scratch? Or do I just exactly. want to kind of not have that be the focus of what I am to you? Because, yeah. you know, the word cancer just freaks people out with good reason. I mean, it's sure. not great. You know, the reality is in my life right now, it's not something that takes up a huge part of my energy. Yeah, it does, always takes up a little bit.
A little space,
always,
sure.
Yeah, but I always know that it's there, but you know, it's just not something that I'm trying to give a ton of energy to.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think it's kind of like when people are coming out and we're doing the work.
Yeah.
They're always like, so how do I do this?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, well, you do it the way you're going to do it.
Yeah.
You give it the space it needs to be for you. Don't give it the space yeah. that everybody else needs it to be. Because yeah. whatever everybody else needs it to be for them, that's their journey. You get right. to be respectful. You get to share. You get to hear. But the moment you give in to giving everybody else space to make it good for them, you're right back in the closet. This is your
right,
journey.
Right, right, right.
And I'm glad we had this. We kind of are ending with this because I think that was a good example of how you take something that is life-changing and you allow it to be what it needs to be in your life, but you don't need to make it what it needs to be for everybody else.
Right.
They get to go choose how they want to be in that space. So, So where we usually end is kind of similar to what Jonathan does. We end with a question that if you could, you know, give someone some advice about stepping out to be who they truly are and just being really comfortable or owning it or anything along those lines, what would be some good life advice that you would like to leave with the listeners as we wind up here?
I think one of the things that's really important is to realize that it's a process and to be loving and patient with yourself. And if it doesn't all happen at once, it's okay, you know, and to just keep on. That's why my whole idea of you get what you settle for, it doesn't have to all happen perfectly at once. You just keep going. You keep getting yourself and your life in more and more alignment with who you truly are. It's probably not going to be perfect the first day that you decide, say, to come out of the closet or what have you, to live more in alignment with who you are. But you can keep moving in that direction, and that's perfectly okay.
And I think that's perfectly okay place for us to say thanks, Allie, for being here and sharing yourself on the Coming Out Lounge. It's been more than I expected.
Oh, thank you so much, Rick. It was great to talk to you.
Yeah. And for those of you who've been listening, you know, take whatever you take each time that you step away here from the Coming Out Lounge. Our goal is always to encourage you to just keep going and fighting the fight, doing the journey, because each time you step out, you step up and you step into being who you are. You're one step closer to being your transparent, authentic self and finding true happiness. I'm Rick Clemens, the Coming Out Coach, and this has been the Coming Out Lounge, and we'll catch you all in just a few days. Thanks for being here with us, everyone. Hey, 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 Closet Dwellers and Coming Out Lounge listeners. I wanted to ask you a question. If you could take stress out of your journey, be more content in who you are, and find ways to do some of the most difficult things that you need to do as you come through the closet doors, would you do it? I bet the answer is yes. Why do I know this? Because I have been getting requests from listeners and clients or prospective clients about finding ways to just address certain things in their coming out journey. Some people don't want to work for a long time, and I totally get that. And that's why I've designed some brand new coming out coaching one-on-one sessions. These are very focused, topic-specific sessions. For example, maybe you're looking at coming out midlife and how do you do it? Could be that you're already out, but you're not completely out and you want to talk about how do I do this and come out at work. Could be that you're having trouble even accepting yourself as a gay person. And might there be a possibility that you're really struggling with your sexuality and your religion? Depending on what you're looking for, I've designed 9 powerful, highly focused one-on-one laser coaching sessions that you can choose from. Each session goes for 90 minutes. We stay specifically focused on the topic at hand. And each of these sessions also includes a copy of my book, Frankly, My Dear, I'm Gay. So now that you've heard about this, how would you like to go check them out? Well, here's how you do this. Go to thecomingoutcoach.com. On that page, you can scroll down. You'll see stuff for the book and for some other offerings, but then you'll see one-on-one coaching sessions. Click on that button, and it will take you to a page that describes each of the 9 offerings that I have. If you happen to be listening to the podcast right now, just look over to the right-hand side of the show page, and you'll see one-on-one coaching sessions right there. Again, just click on that button and go check out these new offerings. So, what do you think? Isn't it about time that you stepped out, you stepped up, and you stepped into resolving whatever the biggest issue is in your coming out journey? I'm Rick Clemens, the Coming Out Coach, and I can't wait to work with you one-on-one.
You've just experienced the Coming Out Lounge. Go online to www.comingoutlounge.com to learn more, and tune in again next week for more stories and tips for being true to yourself.